CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
The following podcast contains graphic language that may offend some listeners. Discretion is advised.
And now, WrestleChat.net presents the North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by
Who Done It? Where? And how?
Was it Big Lazy with the giant tuba just for men in the conservatory? Or was it Triple H backstage with his trusty sledgehammer? Or maybe, and this is the one my money's on, maybe it was Stephanie McMahon. You know, I don't know, with a candlestick in the library or something.
Clue, solving this mystery can be murder.
I think he had it slightly wrong. It was Stephanie in the luxury box using Triple H's phone or her phone with that disguise app.
But we are not being accused of anything but presenting you something other than recaps, which is what most wrestling shows do. But we at the North American Wrestling Connection, sponsored by WrestleChat.net and part of the CLW 83 network, like to actually talk about the news. My name is Nikki Heyman. I have with me at the moment somebody who is unfortunately in the screaming path of Irene. That would be our man who takes the bite out of the Big Apple, Mr. Jason Block.
Okay, now let me get this straight. All right. Flashlights, check. Candles, check. Wrestling DVDs and battery power, check. I'm good.
That's good to hear. And somebody who is actually thinking that the government, I'm hoping that the government might actually be able to help him out with not just money, but a real job. That would be Mr. Brian Henniger.
You know, when that steel chair, that folding chair, came into my face, neck, and arms, it was almost angelic. I went from being afraid to die to feeling like I was being reborn with some sort of absolute pure life force. Oh, hi, everyone.
Wow!
And where does the busload of kids fit into this?
Yeah, I'd like to know. Wow.
Maybe I should have, maybe I have to start there now.
Yeah, I do. You know what? We had a plan going one way, and he just segued right off the track.
No, that's fine, because it seems that's exactly what the entire state of North Carolina is doing. It's sad when the two sanest people coming out of there are Shannon Moore and R-Truth. Come on, people.
Wow.
Dilly gas.
And a conspiracy, yes.
It boggles the mind. And why do I say this? Well, I can give you four very good reasons. Let's see. Let's start with,
after the show, actually, if you remember.
That's true. Was it immediately after the show? Or was it the following day?
It was the following day. I'm, just checking the news, and all of a sudden, all hell broke loose.
Shazam!
Yeah.
just a torrent of breaking news that came in from the Carolinas regarding Matt Hardy, who for the longest time we've considered the saner of the bunch.
But that's over now.
Oh my goodness. Okay, after demolishing his Corvette into a tree, that in itself should be a crime. Matt Hardy is charged with DWI.
And I believe reckless driving and a couple of other charges as well. Sorry to interrupt.
No. He had the reckless driving charge already on his record, and then this happens. And so TNA hears about it. Dixie Carter takes a look at it and cans him. My cat is asking, what in the world was that for when she still got this drug-addled, face-painted idiot still on their roster?
Who does that?
Seriously.
Right.
So, compounding this, Matt Hardy decides that he's going to
oh, anybody got a good word for this? What's a nice way of saying blathering like an idiot on YouTube and Twitter?
I think that is the nice way of putting it, Nikki.
Yeah, that is the nice way. Outside of saying, instead of keeping his bleeping mouth shut, because as we all know, if we've ever watched an episode of Law and Order, what do the lawyers always tell the client to do? Shut up. Okay. But Matt Hardy decides to go. Yes.
Sorry.
Matt Hardy decides to go on YouTube and vomit out pretty much what Brian said. That, what was it? The crashing of the glass and the cutting of his arms was angelic. As a life force was going into me, and what was it? All my vices are gone, and I want to help people. Is that about right?
I actually have it pulled up here on our fine partner site, WrestleChat.net, fine website. You should visit many times a day.
I do, actually.
And
go
you
ahead.
Should. Real quick, it says, when the side wind said, a fan said to him, listen, dude, I'm a fan of yours. That being said, this is all caps, you are going to kill yourself if you don't change your life. I hope your wreck was a wake-up call to you, your brother, and your crew. To which Hardy eloquently replied, when the side window's glass smashed into my face, arms, and neck, some of the blood that did felt almost angelic. I went from being afraid to die to feeling like I was almost being reborn with some sort of absolute pure life force. It was the most amazing thing I've ever experienced. Well, actually, he wrote it, it was the most amazing thing I've ever experienced. I felt like I just received the blood of an angel flowing inside of me. I know this sounds crazy. Really? Due to these, I only have urges to help people, and miraculously, all my vices are gone. Amen, friends. Matthew.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay, so in the course of the next couple of days, let's see, he wrecks his car, he gets arrested, he gets canned, and then his ass lands in the hospital when he fell at his his home.
Now, I see you doing the air quotes. I can even see it on radio. Did you just do those air quotes things?
Oh, my, did I.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, he fell.
May have fell onto a waiting needle, but I shouldn't talk like that.
Oh, no. Oh, I won't go that far. No, what I think it was is he tripped over whatever ghost was prowling around on his premises that he was blathering about before the car accident.
That's dumb.
Yeah. But seriously, folks, I mean, we've been, you know, making jokes over the last now 8 minutes. And I want to get, in the words of Lance Storm, I want to get serious for a moment here. This is a life out of control. This is a life out of control. And we've been talking about this about different shows on the CLW 83 network. Matt doesn't believe he's got a problem. Jeff doesn't believe he's got a problem. And I truly believe in my heart of hearts, and God forbid, I do not wish this on either one of them. But the only time that one of those people who I believe is going to realize that there's a problem when the other one's dead.
It may come to that, although we also, and we have that third wheel in the equation, the brother of another mother of the North Carolina crew, and that would be Hurricane Helms, who, after a disastrous motorcycle accident, which was reported on this show a couple of months back, and we're glad to hear that he's okay and that his girlfriend's doing better, he essentially walked out of the hospital and walked into the police station to report his DWI.
Which, honestly, is the more honorable thing that he's done, because his lawyer told him to, if I remember correctly.
I didn't hear the circumstances behind it, but it was a head scratcher initially to me, because I thought that the charges would have been presented immediately, or maybe they just, you know, they just let him know, hey, we want to talk to you once you're healthy enough to talk.
No, he discussed this on with Between the Ropes. okay? Okay. He said, and I quote, I got the go-ahead from the doctor to go ahead and start putting weight on my foot. The bad news is that I have to start getting into the legal ramifications of the accident. I got charged when I got in the accident, but because I was under doctor orders, I had to be at home. I haven't left the house to go to a doctor or something like that, but then I had to be assisted. But I told the authorities that, and they're very cool with me. They know I'm not a flight risk, that I told them whenever I go get the okay to move, I'll come over there and we'll take care of this. I just got off the phone with my lawyer, and we're going over there to get over there and get it out of the way. So there's your exclusive before it hits the air. It's not something I want. I don't want to drag it out. I kind of just wanted to go and have it done. That's why I said as soon as I got the clearance from the doctor, I'd call my lawyer. It's something that's kind of been on my mind and want to get it out of the way. I've never been above facing any mistake I've made. I just want to go ahead and knock it out and move ahead, move forward with it. I learned a huge lesson with this. Amen and hallelujah. Okay? Seriously.
Now, no, and to that hero, I'd like to add, please teach this lesson to your dear friend Matthew Moore Hardy. Because if you are as adamant a friend as defined by all of your defending of him these last few days, you owe it to him to sit him down, slap him around, and tell him what's what. So, okay, I will apologize now to Hurricane for the fact that he is owning up to this and is willing to say that he's made a mistake and is facing it like a man, unlike the two little boys at the Hardy household. Now this has been figured out, and I'll paraphrase from another article that I had read. These are two guys that essentially went into the wrestling business almost straight out of high school. They really didn't have time to go out there and mature. That would be a crash course that they should have gotten in the course of their training and early travels, but I don't think that ever happened. And we're seeing the problem now. Brian, what do you think?
Well, you know, you're saying everything that I'm agreeing with. I mean, because, like, didn't they found their own promotion as soon as they were out of high school called Omega?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and the Organization of Modern Something Grappling Arts.
Right, the two of them formed it. Helms was a part of it. Shannon Moore was a part of it. Joey Matthews, I believe, was part of it. There's like three or four other guys that are scattered across the independents in the top three that came out of this school. And I had made a statement called the Omega Death Spiral, but it seems that it's only the Hardys that are doing this. Now that I've taken a closer look at Helm's situation, Jeff, I don't think he's quite ready to be anywhere, no matter what his tweet said and no matter what little he did coming up in a couple of weeks on Impact. Matt got what he deserved and then some. But it's just, you know, it's a train wreck that I didn't really want to see happen.
Yeah. Here's what has the IWC sort of scratching their heads, at least the way I see it, is Matt and Jeff had the world by the balls, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They were multimillionaires many times over with the money they made from the WWE.
Exactly.
Okay. Jeff was, when at Jeff Hardy's peak, he and John Cena were competing 1-2 for merchandise. Correct?
Correct.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you had every taping of SmackDown, almost every girl and boy had on those arm sleeves.
Exactly. And the fact is that Jeff Hardy was, you know, a fan favorite. But the thing is that you see all these people who don't, as you said earlier, Nikki, who don't have people telling them no. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
People telling them, you know, I am lucky enough that I have people in my life, including you, who have told me, Jason, just what are you doing? You know, that, that question. What are you doing? You know, that decision before you leap off the cliff.
Yeah.
I don't think they have people to stop them leaping off that cliff.
No,
making bad decisions.
Right. They want to see them jump off the cliff just to see how big of a splat they're going to make when they land.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I kind of realized that Jeff Hardy was somewhat erratic was when I watched that special that they did, and apparently he, I think to this day, still lives in a double wide.
Yeah. Or at least I don't think he's actually getting a house built from the one that burned down.
Yeah. And he, no, but this is before he built the house. He was living in a double wide trailer, and he built a, what was it, a BMX biking trail that had a volcano in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a motocross trail with a volcano in it, yeah.
Actually, there's a funny...
Go ahead.
Okay, now there's a funny story with when he was building that. He was talking to Matt and Lita about it, and he was talking about a bobcat. He was talking about those mini bulldozers. They thought he actually had caught or bought a wild animal.
Which would have been anyone.
You know what? Jeff would have probably done it.
Well, Jeff is also the inspiration for Crazier and a Pet Coon, because he actually had a pet raccoon for a while.
Yeah, Goofier and a Pet Coon.
Yeah.
But the thing is that it's just for me, these news items aren't as shocking anymore. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm honestly, this is crazy, but I'm honestly expecting to hear the death notes of one of them. And I won't be surprised. I won't be surprised
yeah.
at all.
No. And that's what really sucks about this. I think we've kind of beat that up pretty good. I'm gonna jump up to our last lunatic of North Carolina. While not native born, he considers Charlotte his home.
Oh, I've heard about this one.
It's a great article.
Yes, Grantland did a wonderful, comprehensive, as complete as I'm probably going to ever find, article covering Ric Flair's financial career, for lack of a better term. The fact that this man made money hand over fist and spent it twice as fast between luxury items, failed business ventures, one embezzling financial advisor, three wives, four. No, he's married to number four, but alimony for three.
Yeah. Which, of course, inspired one of my all-time favorite lines by the radio host Steve Zabin. Whenever he wants to talk about how something is very dumb, he'll say, "That is Ric Flair's fourth wife, stupid."
Oh, jeez. Wow. Okay.
That's just the insane amount of money that has gone through his hands. This man is going to die penniless for all the money that the NWA got him, for all the money he made in WCW, for all the money he made in both of his WWF runs. The fact that he's making $22,000 a month and still can't keep his head above water baffles me no end.
You know, though, you are familiar with TV tropes, right?
Yes.
Well, they have that one trope, what is it, hilarious in hindsight?
Yes.
There is one hilarious in hindsight thing that's come out of this. Do you remember a couple of years ago when Ric Flair announced he was starting his own financial planning firm called Ric Flair Finance?
Yes, and that was brought up in the article.
Yeah, well, it's hilarious in hindsight. Considering how this guy wastes money, would you really want him planning your finances?
People would still go to him just for the name value. What made me laugh even harder was the fact that they, you know, I remember the advertising for it, and then they discovered that how he was doing it was illegal. Thankfully, they stopped him before he actually went through with it. Otherwise, we could add a little bit of jail time to all of his nonsense. I mean, they didn't put him in jail for road rage. They haven't put him in jail yet for tax evasion. I mean, this would have been the icing on the cake.
You know, they made a great parable in that article, and you know, Bill Simmons is such a huge old school wrestling fan and a new school fan too. Apparently, back to Watchman, it's the guy who wrote it compared Ric Flair to the wrestler.
Yes. And go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No. I'd like to hear the rest of this thought.
Well, it's just I've seen the movie, and you know, there are so many parallels. The story I've heard is that when Ric Flair watched that movie, he cried. I think now I know why. I think he saw a lot of himself in it, and we're seeing a lot of himself in it now. We are, because of all this stuff that's happened to him.
Mm-hmm. The only difference is he's not, you know, now he's not confined to a trailer. I know he's not exactly friends with his kids, and, you know, just the fact that what little money that does come in has to go right back out. If it's not just to his regular stuff, it's to IRS debts, it's to whoever he's borrowed money from lately, it's to whatever. Sad that the last person that I can think of that actually refused to loan him money was TNA, and that tirade in England where he got kicked off the bus.
Yes.
Yeah.
That scares me. So, and Jason, you mentioned to me that, you know, Flair wasn't disputing any of the financials on it, yet he spoke up about something at the very beginning of the article, speaking of a medical condition that he had.
Right, exactly. His agent was threatening that he would sue the Grantland, and the article, which was not Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons actually runs Grantland.com, but there was someone else who did the investigation. And by the way, the guy who wrote it was just absolutely phenomenal. I want to credit this guy because he did an absolutely fantastic job.
Absolutely.
I just want to make sure that I get the right guy here.
Shane Ryan was his name.
Shane Ryan, yeah, that's the guy. And absolutely phenomenally detailed, most of it, but it was called alcoholic cardiomyopathy, I believe the term is. Which is basically a heart condition of an enlarged heart due to booze and alcoholism. And he said, no, I don't have it, never had it, I might sue the article. Slight problem, though. In his book, To Be the Man, he actually admitted he had it. So, what you gonna do, Rick? Seriously.
Because he ain't got the money to sue nobody.
And the fact that his legal team's still waiting to be paid for the various suits that he's had to deal with, everything from high spots on back. So, Rick, what are we going to do with you?
You know, if I can bring anything up, did any of you watch that DVD they made called Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen? The WWE did about 5 years ago?
The WWE version?
Yes, it was really, really good.
I did not.
Well, he talked in there about how in his younger days, he admitted that he spent money. He said, if I made $500,000, I'd spend $700,000. I didn't care. I was having fun.
We were talking about this during the week, and this is something that I think is the reason why Ric Flair cannot be Richard Flair anymore.
Right.
He believes in his heart of hearts, he's Ric Flair till the day he dies.
Yeah, he's the Nature Boy.
Yeah.
Yes.
He has completely embraced the character. He lives, underlined, lives the gimmick. And that's dangerous. Hmm.
Absolutely.
More power to him, but that's just, that's, you know, maybe he's having fun, but that's no way to live.
No, because...
At least I know.
No, you go ahead.
At least I'll have money when I retire, because I'll be able to retire.
Yes, Skander Akbar is something he always told people. Skander Akbar, the great manager out in Texas, he would tell everybody he worked with, including Cactus Jack, you never make so little that you can't put some back.
There you go. Ah.
And also, by the way, this article should be put on every wrestler's locker room right now. Because we all know that the Cenas, the Triple H's, the CM Punks are smart with their money. For everyone that is, there's a lot that aren't. And this should be a warning bell.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, it looks like I was right about our number four.
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I called it! Woo!
So let me give a warm welcome to our number four, our beloved, the man from the Webmaster's Corner, Mr. Tyler Brown. That wasn't the right sound, was it?
Tyler, are you there?
Tyler, you all right?
Tyler, are you with us? Speak up, man.
Tyler, are you okay?
No, Tyler's going to kick. Tyler apparently is going to kick my ass after the show, but that's okay.
Okay.
Speak up, Webby. I know
Hello? You're
there. There you are.
Yes.
I can hear. I can hear you typing.
Creepy, huh?
Yeah.
So,
oh, it speaks.
So, you were just in time, actually, for us to get to some of the good news in the wrestling business. We have just finished speaking of the destruction of North Carolina. And the fact that one of the few remaining sane people is R-Truth. Truth has
called that thing.
Well, let me get to it. Because R-Truth, along with Miz and the new tag champs Evan Bourne and Kofi Kingston, have put up a bright flashing neon sign letting everybody know, hey, WWE wants to make a tag division. Are you paying attention? Anyone? Tyler, were you paying attention?
Truthfully, I got to tell you on two points. The only way I watch Raw anymore or SmackDown is via a channel on YouTube, which I won't give out due to, you know, recent legal issues. But what I will say is that I usually look at the recaps and stuff on Raw and SmackDown. But what I can say is that the tag team division does need to be revived because that's what a lot of people tuned into back in the day. You know, you get tired of the same 50 singles matches that you can see and predict almost week in and week out. So why not bring back the tag division and bring some, you know, spark, some more interest into the show as opposed to the same three feuds going on for 50 weeks and then you go, oh, well, shit, let's see here. One person just got fired, let's see, then the other person, you know, is on a wellness suspension, quote unquote. So it's like, well, shit, what do we do now? And it's like, oh, well, you know. It shouldn't be like that. It should be like, oh, well, we already have a tag team division in place, so let's just, start making random tag teams. There's nothing wrong with that, you know? And,
all right.
You know, take some of the people who maybe aren't doing anything or, you know, aren't getting enough time, woo, 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 you know it, and, you know, get them some more airtime just by simply having them in a tag team match or putting in, like, tag team tournaments maybe, like they've done with all these other major championships and get something going.
There you go. Brian, you saw both the tag team championship match and the amazing promo that Truth and Miz unleashed upon the Calgary crowd. Could you tell that this was a sign that they were waving at us?
Yeah, I could. You know, everything I read about Triple H is he is a real old school kind of person in as far as he has been a fan of it all of his life, and I'm sure he remembers back in the day when, in a lot of ways, the tag team division was built almost as big as the singles division. And I kind of got that vibe myself, that they are at least going, they're at least paying lip service that they want to build the, that they want to build the tag team division, and I think they're really going to at least make an attempt at it. Nikki, you wouldn't remember this because you're not from the South, but I remember back in the South, back in the 80s, the promotions back then in the South were built around the tag teams. And the singles were almost secondary. Hmm. And, well, I can remember Smoky Mountain Wrestling, if I'm not mistaken, they crowned their first tag team champions before they crowned their first singles champion. And the reasoning behind that, allegedly, is because tag teams can have much longer matches, and so they are the ones who usually would do the main events.
All right. Now, Jason, but, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stop you. Go on.
I'm done.
Okay. Jason, you said even the commentary was helping put this sign up. Let me hear your thought on that.
Okay. Well, the last couple of weeks, Jerry Lawler has been basically putting everyone with a big fat sledgehammer to their head when he was criticized for David Otunga and McGillicuddy for being boring, bland, lack of personality, that sort of thing, right?
The bland leading the bland, which was one of my favorite lines.
Now, we all have heard about what the WWE wants to do. You've got the Awesome Truth. You've got, I believe the rumored name is Flight Club.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, I mean, if Kofi was still in Jamaica, you could call him High Flyers, but we won't go into that. But you've got the rumored appearance of the Kings of Wrestling. The attempted, which looked like it failed miserably, audition for the Young Bucks. The rumors of Beer Money coming into the WWE in 2012, once the TNA contract expired.
Mm.
They're going to rebuild its tag division. It may not take, it might not be immediate, but it's coming. They're going to build a foundation. I believe this. I really do. Do you?
I do. It's been a while since we've had a functioning tag division. The closest we've had to one was back in 2004-05. And I might even get a few arguments on that one. But I was, if they do this, I almost kind of hope they make it functional a la the SmackDown 6 back in 2002, where you have functioning tag teams. But even in the tag teams, these guys have singles agendas. Edge and Mysterio, for example. Mysterio was heavily involved in the Cruiserweight division. Edge was just getting ready to bust into the main event picture. They were still pursuing those while they were still chasing the tag belts. Los Guerreros were pretty much a dedicated tag team at the time, but Chavo could go chase the Cruiserweight title. Eddie could go chase a B-belt. Angle and Benoit were both right at the main event level. Angle could go chase the world title if he wanted to, and Benoit would be right behind him. So,
And here's one you weren't mentioning. How about Rated RKO? Edge and RKO, Edge and Randy Orton. I mean, it was on Raw, but it's the same sort of...
Right.
It's the same sort of mentality.
Right. Well, unfortunately, they didn't have a division really to mess with. They were pretty much a tag team of convenience to deal with the Generation X. Really?
May
I have attention, please?
Boo.
I have just a message from the anonymous general manager on my Commodore 64.
Old school.
It's the cool school, buddy.
Let's see what we've got here. What have we got here? Oh, and I quote, "The tag team division will probably take a few months to pull together, and we will be seeing that in the coming weeks, not only on Raw, but on SmackDown. Who knows, we might even get some with the live Super SmackDown next Tuesday. But the tag team that I wish to mention directly to you guys is CLW83 Network and WrestleChat.net. In other words, it's time for you to shill. I can't argue with the general manager, guys. We're going to take a short break here, and we will be back on the show in just a couple of minutes.
You're listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net.
I'd rather hit you with the phone and chat.
Well, I have to hit you again.
On the CLW83 Network.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Gargiulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
By God, ladies and gentlemen, do I have a wonderful discovery for you. Check out this, the CLW 83 Night Shift. You get conversations with eBay power seller Dana Crawford. From the Webmaster's Corner, Tyler Brown, you get all the latest BTR listings. And you also get Robert Settleman talking to people in Olympia, Washington. How much would you pay for this? $100? $500? $1,000? If you'd like to, you can. But for you, it's not worth a damn thing. Listen to it for free. I've gone mad with power!
The CLW 83 Night Shift. New special Saturday, September 3rd at 9 p.m. Eastern. Only on the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
Roll the tape on this.
I am indeed ready for such an occasion.
It's actually going to be a very boring show this week. But wait!
How you doing tonight, Al?
Doing good. Nice selection of music there, and I am wearing pants.
Okay.
Hey! All right, that's a bonus.
We'll play Cafe, not Play Mania. Play Mania was a GSN show.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. Play Mania's running wild.
Exactly right.
Oh, jeez! Mute Mama Seidelman!
It's a dance number. Yeah, we get it.
We have hit recap!
Can you hear me?
Okay, there we go. I keep on hearing this noise in the background.
Down.
Yeah.
This is going to be more fun than a Chaz Bono sex change.
You waited the internet, sir! You waited the internet!
And actually, I'm interested in seeing that matchup today with him and Carl, because I think Carl, with all due respect, is overrated.
Speaking of him, Carl is on the air. Carl, how are you doing?
You can all kiss my ass. Overrated, huh, Klaus? Anyway,
how are you? No, that's a thing. That's a thing, actually.
Stop.
One more time.
Look, okay, it's time.
The man is coming through the bun.
Blah, 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 blah.
That's Bowser.
Well, be honest, I'm sure she's got her feet up somewhere saluting us with her pickles and ice cream going, yeah, baby.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand this love affair with Alabama.
Oh, wow.
The noodles. Chris, nice Cuban noodles.
Yeah, you're a good little girl. Yes, don't fight.
Good girl.
Don't bite.
Talk about Jim Turner. Let's talk about Ryan Howard. How about that?
Howard, you can't say because he's fat.
Because if the WWE doesn't want him, fine, you know.
And Justin Tuck.
Oh, mother. Oh, come
Mother
on.
Tucker. Mother Tucker. Mother Tucker. We have a great show for you tonight, as if I'd say otherwise.
Thanks for joining us, and until next time, stay sporty.
This is going to be like a good championship boxing match. You're not going to see a lot of hits, but the hits that you'll see are going to be good.
The CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
This is Ethan Muslin, and you're listening to the CLW 83 Network. Tune in.
I'll take entertaining answers for 800.
And we are back. I've got a couple of quick news and notes, and I'm going to throw a headline at each of you, just to see what you think. And I'm going to start with you, Tyler, since you are a little late to the party, and I do apologize that you did not get this opportunity. News is out that the federal government has been cracking down on illegal streams of pay-per-view events. WWE was actually directly mentioned in one article I read. Your thoughts?
Well, first off, it's obviously going to be WWE, because with the way TNA has been putting out their programming and most of their pay-per-views, no one would even want to waste their time or even a dollar or two with the way some of these streams work to view these streams. Understandably, with WWE being the big boss in the game, they don't want to lose. I mean, as much as they charge for pay-per-views, anywhere from, 40 to 60, depending on which major pay-per-view it is,
right.
That's a lot of money. If you consider, you multiply that by, say, the number of people with computers, divide that by the number of wrestling fans, and you get about an average of, say maybe even 100,000 people all across, not just in America, but all across the globe, who are watching the stream, some for free, some for a minimal, $5 charge or something for a month. And their main thing is probably their bottom line with any place, But in this case, it's a lot about the bottom line, You can't make money if you've got your fans or whoever, doing the illegal streaming. And a lot of these people who do illegal streaming, they haven't really paid much of a price. It's been, we shut your, Ustream channel down and, not even by the time the next TNA or UFC or whatever pay-per-view comes out, you're back up under a different alias, And or some of them protect themselves by having a Ustream channel where they link to another place that's not really, on the boardwalk per se. It's not on Ustream, it's on a separate site. And, they still... For the time being, it's been where, people just run around to different places until they can find something. But now it's going to be one of those situations where it's just as bad as taking a WWE DVD or any DVD in general, buying it, but then showing it in public as if you were running a movie theater. It's about the same exact thing.
Okay. Brian, we've got a couple people on injured reserve with Mysterio going in for ACL surgery and Maryse in for hernia surgery. Your thoughts?
Well, I wish them both the best. I mean, it's going to feel bad for Mysterio because WWE has been building Mysterio up so amazingly large over the last few months, and he's pretty much been the face of SmackDown lately. So I hope he gets better, and it's a bad thing for that division because at least that way, Sin Cara had someone to work against as far as his lucha ability. Maryse, I hate to say something bad about her because I think she's, I think she's very pretty, and I think she's a sweet woman, and she's a good talent, but so many of the divas now are interchangeable, I don't even think it's going to mean that much to the division.
All right. Jason, from the job market, Sin Cara Sin Trabajo and Todd Grisham to ESPN. Go.
Okay. Todd Grisham to ESPN is a very, very good thing. Coach basically gave him a warning on Twitter. You better step up and do your job like I did, or else you won't make it. I think Grisham will. However... Sin Cara is Sin Trabajo because what happened was is that the first guy who played Sin Cara screwed it up so bad they had to film the match twice this week. And I believe he was sent his walking paper. So the guy, Junico, who did a lot better job as Sin Cara, is going to take over permanently because, ironically enough, Sin Cara's doing very well in the merch department. That's all that counts wrestling right now these days. Money, money, money.
And the reason I burned through these particular headlines is because one of the things that I've been wanting to talk about this past week is a wrestling term that I have been seeing used and abused on wrestling message boards, and that term is buried. There are a lot of people bitching that Christian got buried in his feud with Randy Orton, that Triple H... that Triple H buried everybody back in 2003 in the so-called Reign of Terror, that as soon as your favorite guy loses, oh my God, he's being buried. John Morrison, oh dear, the cold shoulder to Trish Stratus. He's going to be buried all year long. He beat R-Truth the other week. He's getting somewhere. Where do I begin? Where can I begin?
I will tell you what I think this is. And I think why I think it's being abused and abused, misabused. What happened was, or is that we are in such an instant gratification world.
Thank you.
That if we are in an instant gratification world, and all wrestling companies have lost the art of the slow burn. No wrestling company knows how to do it right. Okay? Even with the CM Punk angle, that was 2 months. Okay? That was just 2 months right now.
Mm-hmm.
And some people think it's a peak. And because everyone is on the internet, including ourselves, and everyone has an opinion, because they want to think smart and use the word burial when they I think they mean something else.
Because when you talk about burial in wrestling, the wrestling vernacular, this term is essentially meaning that whatever that person is, character, his reputation, his career is so badly damaged that he is not going to be able to recover from it. An example just came in from the chat room, Robert Conway. I think the perfect example would also be the Spirit Squad. Sure, they got tons of TV time, but they were never seen as a credible threat to anybody. And as you saw, out of the five of them, only one of them still has a job, and he had to do a gimmick makeover and pretty much disappear from TV for a couple of years.
Which, by the way, just out of curiosity, why has some rather happy face or rather intelligent member of the roster used Ziggler's spot footage against him?
Let me make sure I heard that right, because you popped in and out a lot. You're asking if anybody would be willing, has not dug up his caddy days or his cheerleader days to use against it, because that's a completely different character. Nobody uses Isaac Yankum against Kane, and nobody used Xanta Claus against Balls Mahoney. Although,
yeah,
admitted,
go ahead. Ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, Kane indirectly referenced the Christmas creature when he got to trash a Christmas setting last year.
Yeah. I remember that.
But you were going to say?
No, you go ahead and make your point about it, then I'll just let me know, and then I'll chime in.
Okay. It's just that, you know, this is the case of Nick Nemeth into Dolph Ziggler is a complete character makeover, just like the Isaac Yankum into Kane. It's not something that you reference in kayfabe. You just don't.
Okay.
No, go ahead, Brian.
No, you go ahead.
No, Brian, I want to hear what you got to say.
Well, you're talking about burying, you know. What gets me about it is, you know, I go on the message boards. I go all over them, and I hear all these people getting all, they get their panties in a wad because their favorite wrestler lost the match. And it's always been like, oh, he'll be off. Well, I guess it's hit to superstars for him. You know, stuff like that. And it's like, you know, if you have a wrestling match between two opponents, by law, one of those opponents has to lose the match. I mean, unless you want to have just a bunch of time limit draws. But no, you get these people, then they think they know everything about the wrestling business because they've watched all of Jim Cornette's shoot videos, and they think that they're experts. And because someone they like lost a match, well, the WWE is going to bury him. No, they're not. But I agree with you, Jason, I agree with you completely. We are in such an instant gratification society nowadays that we can't do slow booking to some people. And I think, sort of like how we have resensitized people to bad language and blood, maybe we have to resensitize them to slow burn angles again.
That's a possibility. You know what? I think that's an absolute possibility. And the thing is, to me, the last time I can remember a true quote unquote burial. And the thing is that it's really hard to actually bury someone on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Because back when the '80s, you had, you know, squash matches with people who were supposed to be buried. Okay, those were called jobbers to the stars.
That's completely different, though.
Right, I understand. But like for example, the last one I could think of was Rey Mysterio after WrestleMania 21, or was it 22 when he won?
22, because I was at 22, and
okay.
I don't know if I would call that a burial either. I just think that was just a case of horrendous booking.
Okay.
Because they had built him up, and then the whole Eddie Guerrero stuff to finally put him over the top and make him a champion, and then all of a sudden, all the skills and all the tools that he used to get him there weren't working anymore.
Right.
Which was bizarre to me, but...
Right, and you want to know something? I don't think we are at a true burial in, like, years that I can think of.
Like I said, I'll say that the last true burial I saw was 5 years ago, and... No offense to those involved, I laughed. And that was D-Generation X stuffing the entire Spirit Squad into a road case and putting an OVW sticker on it.
Yes. Yeah, that was basically saying, you don't belong here.
Yeah, enough. And as I mentioned, Nick Mitchell never recovered, but he wasn't very good anyway. Kenny Dykstra ended up with attitude problems and was released. Johnny Jeter, I have no idea why they let him go. He had been in developmental forever. He was really good. He tagged with Matt Cavatelli before he got sick. You know, they could have made something out of him. And Mike Mondo didn't quite fit the mold of what they were looking for in a wrestler at that time. I know that he still works at OVW periodically and bounces around the indies in that tri-state area. So he's still working. And you know, more power to him. I hope someday he gets to come back. Tyler, you've been awful quiet. You got a couple of cents for this?
What was the topic? I'm sorry, my brain's kind of falling out.
The term burial or buried. Do you feel that it's a term that's being used, that's being overused or at least abused out on the internet?
Yeah, especially with a lot of fanboys of certain wrestlers or certain wrestlers who have cult following. But in all seriousness, you know, when you use the term buried, that means their career is over. You know, if you look back in the 90s in WWE and you look at, you know, some of these people who were real strong in the 90s and then they tried to bring them back in the, you know, mid-2000s, and it was like they were used as basically jobbers.
Val Venus, remember that?
Yeah, well, I mean, another person also comes to mind besides Val Venus would be Hardcore Holly. He did real good. He was with Crash there for a while, and they were the big tag team, and they were the crazy hardcore brothers and, you know, this, that, and the other. And then once you get to, you know, ECW in the 2000s, in the, you know, almost late 2000s, he's basically buried, and he has to take, like, a huge, crazy-ass bump. And, you know, every match after that point seemed like all it was him getting literally buried, you know. And here's how I see that term. That term is to be used when somebody is pretty much appearing on TV every week, might be a well-known name, but, you know, they're not picking up a win for quite a while, whether it be because, you know, they're just being used as a jobber just to get someone else over, or whether it's because, you know, they've done something to piss somebody off backstage. But just because, like, say, with Christian or somebody, because they're not winning the championship or they get screwed out of a championship, that does not mean they're getting buried. Buried is to where you're almost on that verge where, you know, every time that they come up through roster cut, you're like, you know, they're kind of on the border. You know, okay, well, do we really need them? Are we going to keep them around for another 12 weeks so we can use them about 5 times on TV, bury them, and then, you know, let him, you know, spend the rest of his time getting action on Twitter, you know, trying to get people to get him back on TV or her, whichever the case may be. But, yeah, that term is overused, but I'm not going to say that I've never been guilty of it or, you know, it's just I try to stay away from using that term because here are the main two reasons I use the word buried. If we're talking about any match that Undertaker is in, especially buried alive, you'll talk about a lot of burials, but unfortunately they don't do many of those anymore. Or mainly because a wrestler is not maybe getting a lot of time or maybe not... you know, maybe not getting much in the way of appearances. Their only appearances are on Superstars. And, you know, where it's almost like the career, to an extent, might be winding down because they're not getting on one of the main two programs. They're not getting on Raw or SmackDown. You only see them on, you know, Superstars, and then their matches are short because they want to put 20, 30 minutes of commercials and maybe 5 minutes of wrestling, you know, that sort of thing. But it shouldn't be used just because, you know, a superstar you like isn't winning the title every week or they only get to defend the title twice or, you know, whatever the case may be. It's just, it needs to be used with discretion, not just, you know, used indiscreetly. Just like, oh, just because, you know, like I said, the person you like isn't getting what you think they should get.
I can actually say that the WWE actually buried somebody in a DVD set, okay?
Well, that's what you're talking about, Ultimate Warrior.
Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a burial. That only happened a couple of years ago.
Right.
But
well, I can remember the story that they almost did that to Bret Hart, because if I remember correctly, the Bret Hart DVD set was originally going to be called Screwed, the Bret Hart story.
Right, and that was the impetus that, you know, got Brett to go ahead and call Vince and say, hey, don't do, you know, please don't do that. And they said, well, why don't you come in and let's at least balance it out a little bit. I almost think that was kind of blackmail. But now that I think about it, if you're, you know, there is somebody that did get buried and it wasn't entirely his fault. And that one person in the Fed right now is Primo Colon.
Yeah.
Guilt by association.
Yeah. It's not his fault. All the nonsense that went on with Carlito leading up to him leaving the company, Primo essentially is kind of took the fall for it. You don't see him on TV very often.
Question.
Hmm.
Is that why Gene Snitsky isn't on TV? He yelled, it wasn't my fault. Anyways.
Ha ha ha.
Well, you want to talk about the internet jumping the gun on a burial claim. I remember when WWE signed Daniel Bryan Danielson.
Yes.
I knew the minute they signed him that every hardcore Ring of Honor smark, if he didn't walk out on his first day, break Triple H's leg, and become world champion for the next 5 years, they were going to say, oh my God, they're burying him. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it.
And I'll tell you what, right now they're probably doing that at this very moment because he's, you know, his win-loss record is still not that stellar. And the fact that he got pinned tonight on SmackDown, despite walking around with the Money in the Bank contract, and the fact that I still cannot watch a Daniel Bryan match with the sound on, Michael Cole.
Now, I'm going to be a little fair here.
All right.
I listened to it. I watched it. In the last week or two, Michael Cole has really toned down a lot of his smarkiness. He was praising Daniel Bryan in his match. I mean, I was shocked. I'm like, wow, this ain't too bad. I mean, he's still being a subtle heel, but he was actually giving Daniel some of his due. I was slightly impressed by it.
And he was incredibly tolerable on Raw last Monday night, which shocked me.
I thought he was more than tolerable on Raw, but tonight, I once again had to mute my television during Daniel Bryan's match because he was going on and on about Bryan lying about cashing in Money in the Bank. So I figured he was going to go off on his usual spiel, and I muted him. I muted him again during DiBiase's match because they were talking about Cody Rhodes' face mask. And the first thing out of Cole's mouth is, oh, Rey Mysterio broke his nose on purpose. He has said that every fucking week since it happened.
It's over. Get the fuck over it.
Seriously, I want blankety blank. I want Booker T to get up and just slap him. I want Josh Matthews to punch his lights out.
That would be awesome.
I would just, you know, I'm sick and tired.
And we know Josh Matthews could do it. He trained to be a wrestler.
Exactly. And Michael Cole just needs to get the hell over all of this other stuff. I liked what he was doing on Raw. I absolutely liked what he was doing on Raw. But he turned it up to 15 again on SmackDown and really pissed me off. And I, you know, to this day, I still think he, you know, the fact that he spends his time, and I think I can use this term, burying Daniel Bryan for the most part. Yes, he did say some nice things about Daniel Bryan at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Yes, he has begrudgingly said a couple of nice things about him in the last couple of weeks. That doesn't make up for the other 56 weeks of him calling Daniel Bryan a nerd, a vegan who doesn't own a TV, and probably doesn't have a girlfriend, yet he walked around with Gail Kim on his arm.
Anyway.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, I guess we're in archives now.
We've been in archive for a couple of... We were in archive before even I started ranting. But yeah, the term is thoroughly abused, and it's probably not the only term that gets abused. I'm not going to get into it tonight. Excuse me. Long week. I'm not going to get into it tonight, but there's a handful of other terms that we could probably really examine that the internet just likes to abuse.
De-pushed?
That's one. Swerve is one that seems to get used often and sometimes incorrectly. Let me get the list that Seidelman posted.
Where's it located at? I like to see it too.
Oh no, he just suggested it, and Ethan put it up. Buried, botch, smark, attitude era, and swerve.
Yeah, botch is one I'm getting tired of. Because it's like the littlest mistake now, and they're saying, well, guess Botchamania's got a video.
Not everybody can be perfect, folks.
I mean, this isn't Ring of Honor, apparently.
And the only reason that Ring of Honor doesn't have anything on there is because they won't let Matthew do it.
Why is that?
They've sued him?
No, they sent him a cease and desist letter. The first two or three Botchamanias that he did had a whole bunch of Ring of Honor footage on it, and they said, no, you will not do that. Because these guys are I don't want to use the term Nazi, but they are very, very, very protective of their footage.
Yeah, that's not Nazi, that's protective. There's a difference.
The fact that they're very protective of their video.
And I guess it's their right, but I mean, you know, I'm a firm believer that if you can't take the bad, don't take the good. I mean, if you can at least, you know, laugh at your mistakes and at least admit, yeah, every so often we screw up, you know.
It's not so much the the content of the footage. It's the fact that the footage was being used at all. It could have been their better matches. They wouldn't have cared. You, to them, you're stealing their footage.
Well, I mean, I can give you an example of a legit botch that we saw recently on Raw 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
When Alex Riley couldn't get up for the powerbomb, and it took Swagger 3 times to do it.
And then even then, he pretty much had to strong-arm Riley off the mat to do it.
Right.
A botch would be Primo and Sin Cara slipping off the top rope.
Right. But not every miss of a hit or... miss of a slap or something is a botch. It's called a mistake. Not everybody's perfect and crisp and clean.
No, but some people could really use a little extra training.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Sure.
I noticed in the lineup you had Jim. Is Jim, I'm guessing he's off preparing for the hurricane, I would assume?
Yes, he is. He's
okay.
He's moving further inland first thing tomorrow morning. That's why he wasn't here tonight. And
okay.
Jason... is graciously taking his place.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, by the way, he sent me a text earlier. He said he's doing fine. Tomorrow morning he will be heading to his grandmother's house because she has a basement.
Yeah.
Is that Jason or was that
Jim?
Okay.
I am in the direct path of the hurricane, being in New York City, but I am not in the evacuation zone. But
you are going to be hunkered down, and you're getting everything charged up so that once, should the power go out, you'll at least be able to waste a couple hours watching wrestling DVDs.
Well, yes, exactly. So, yeah, yes. The funny thing is that because I have my laptop and I do have a tablet computer, which I should charge anyway, even though it's pretty high up on the power thing. But, I have books to read. I can read. There's things called books. I can read those.
I've heard of these things. I'm not as familiar with them as you seem to be, but I'll look into it.
I mean, if you want to actually read a great wrestling book, Undisputed, How to Get to a Championship in 1,372 Easy Steps.
I finally finished. Yeah, I just finished reading that myself.
Great book, by the way.
Very. And I would like to take chapter 47, and I would like to post it somewhere.
Is that the drunk driving one?
No, that's the Benoit chapter.
Oh, that's a great one.
And I just want to post that just for any of the haters and the just to tell the haters even his best this is what his best friend thinks.
Yeah. And he has no clue.
Yeah, and I'll even quote him from one of the talk shows he went on. You could line up 1,000 people against a wall, and he would have been the last person I pick to have done something like this.
Agreed.
And I'm with him. So I didn't mean to go on that tangent.
No. I was talking about books. But yes, I will be safe and I will be checking in as much as I can.
Hey, question. What is, I don't have Jim or you on Twitter, Jim, or Jason.
I am at BeatTheBlock. And I believe Jim Williams is Jim, on-air Jim Williams, I think it is. Is that right,
okay.
Nikki?
I'd have to look it up.
All right, hold on. Let me look it up because I will.
Is it on-air Jim Williams or Jim Williams' voice?
Hold on. I will see who I am following.
Because I know you've got mine, Tyler, at Ms. Nikki Heyman.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I didn't know if it was okay
Jay
to...
Jay Williams on air. Jay Williams on air.
Okay.
You were about to ask, Brian?
I don't know if you were going to bring this up or not, but I have some interesting news I think is pretty good. WWE earlier today released the official buy rate for Money in the Bank.
I have it on here. We didn't quite get to it. The numbers were up, but not as up as they were hoping.
But still, I mean, well, last year the pay-per-view was 165,000 buys. This year it was 265,000. So they increased it by 100,000 buys. I mean, some of the big pay-per-views don't get a 250,000 buys. So I think that says a lot about Cena and Punk and the whole storyline. So hopefully it's a good thing.
Well, we'll see what happens as summer's the SummerSlam.
Yeah, those are numbers I'm curious about myself. And I'd be curious to see how the numbers are going to fluctuate since we've got Del Rio and Cena for the WWE title, and then, of course, Randy Orton defending his title. And he's going to be facing, as of right now, Mark Henry, correct?
The card. I know that I saw that on Wrestle Chat the other day.
Okay. Unfortunately, the snarkier of the fan base is going to think this when they see the two title matches.
Wow. Is that on the soundboard?
Yes, it is.
That is beautiful.
It shall be played for any time we have, for any issues we have with Super Cena or the current Super Orton. Though I have a better preference when it comes to Orton.
Baby oil! No!
Can I ask you one little question, Nikki?
Sure.
Where does that soundbite come from? Because you always mention it when you mention Orton.
That's Mystery Science Theater 2000, I believe.
Probably. I honestly, you know, I'm not the one who originated it, but I seem to have been associated with it thanks to one of the Blog Talk Radio ads. That just started as somebody put it on the soundboard, and that has been a running joke ever since Legacy was first formed. Because they were essentially the baby oil club, because it was, you know, these guys, you know, were always oiled up. None of them wore pants, and it was just, you know, they still pick on them. So every now and again, when we find, you know, there's a running joke. If you ever find a picture of Randy Orton with pants, it has to be posted because it's such a rare occurrence.
And of course, one of my personal favorites, what was it? Batista losing to a basketball.
Yes, but they made up so well at the basketball show.
Yes, the basketball Raw.
Yeah, he looked like a total doofus in the Kobe Bryant outfit. Oh God!
And the fact that he walked out with a basketball in his hands, there was nothing left of the fan boards. There's just nothing left. Because he'd gotten so much hell for basketballs don't hold grudges. And he walks out with a basketball, and sure enough, the message board I'm on just goes completely bonkers.
It did.
I'm surprised it was still running after that show was over. I came on, and I'm like, my God, is this on? We still here? How'd this happen? I expected you guys to have crashed this board over this.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The weirdest story of the week to me, even with all this stuff, was the picture of The Undertaker bald.
That hurts my... It hurts my brain.
Well, he's starting to get his hair back now, so... Barely, but...
Yeah. I honestly thought... And I commented to Jason about this. I thought it was a Photoshop. I honestly thought somebody was in there playing, or, you know, had messed with the picture.
Although, he is a lot... He's bulked up a bit more from that one alleged photograph of his, so he's not, you know, completely been deflated, which is more than I can say for Dave Bautista. Have you seen him lately?
I've seen some current pictures of him, and yeah, he's lost a lot.
He looks like He looks like he was pumped full of air and then someone just poked him with a pencil or something.
No comment here.
I'm gonna be nice. I'm not gonna say anything because similar comments have been made about Kurt Angle. Which there was a whole bunch of banter back and forth after he jumped on Twitter and called everybody idiots because you know he's the best in the world, blah blah blah. A lot of people said, well, he was slimming down so he could go try out for the Olympics, and somebody said that he never went to the tryouts because if he washed out, that would have killed his gimmick forever, and he would have been inadvertently buried by the real world.
Yeah.
I got one more thing I wanted to point out, then I will shut up for the rest of the night, I promise. You know our good friend Ian Rock, right?
Uh-oh.
Well, his longtime tag team partner, Axel Rock, is having some troubles of his own.
Right.
Apparently, he is very close to being evicted from his house. So he has taken to Twitter. He's trying to get $5,000 raised by wrestling fans to keep him from getting evicted. Now, I want to know why he's having a problem. I thought Ian ran a wrestling promotion. I thought he'd have some money lying around, right?
Yeah, I don't think he made it. I don't think anybody bought his stuff when he shut down IWA Mid-South.
And my attempt at sarcasm dies a slow, sad death. Okay, we're going to move on.
Sorry about that.
All right. I'm gonna rock and roll. It's gonna be a good week, and let's see how it goes from there. Labor Day weekend. Remember, 2 live shows this week.
Exactly. You know, have your DVR set for the Super SmackDown on Tuesday night. It will rebroadcast on Friday, but I bet you it'll be edited. I'm going to record both just for curiosity's sake. But I think it's very appropriate that, gentlemen, we've had a very good time tonight. And there's only one way to end this show, and that is in the immortal words of Taz. Good night, Irene.
Thank you very much. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Say good night, gentlemen.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night, gentlemen.
What?
One real, real quick. There's a wrestling show coming up on the 18th of September in the East Tennessee area in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you're going to be in Knoxville, check it out on 4:30 p.m. at the Tennessee Valley Fair. It's Night of the Legends show. Main event is Bob and Brad Armstrong versus Tommy and Davey Rich. And check it out. It's going to be a great event. I will be there representing the NAWC, and I'll give you a full report.
Excellent. Take pictures.
I will.
Okay. And with that, I'm gonna do some disappearing of my own. Until next week.
Good night now.
Yes.
If you would like to leave a question, comment, or if you want to find any information on our podcast and our services, please send an email to clw83network@gmail.com. Again, that's clw83network@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the CLW 83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.